underrated, kind of off the radar, but right in the very center of the radar, and no one really knew he was doing this.
That's writer Mark Parascia talking about photographer Ernest Withers, famous for his photographs of the civil rights movement in the South in the 1960s. It's what we're reading. Mark Parascia is a reporter in Memphis. His new book is called A Spy in Canaan, How the FBI Used a Famous Photographer to Infiltrate the Civil Rights Movement. This book is a result of years of research that started with a Freedom of Information request in 2007 and ended recently after a lawsuit with the FBI. And now we finally have the story of civil rights insider turned FBI informant Ernest Withers. Many of us may not know the name, but we've likely seen his work. So I asked Mark to tell us, who is Ernest Withers?
Ernest Withers was a very famous photographer, and although he's not a household name, he took some of the big pictures of the civil rights movement many years ago. Many of the pictures that he took resonate with people, probably subconsciously, because they are just so ingrained in that our mental image of that period. But he covered the Montgomery bus boycott and took this very famous picture of Dr. King riding one of the first integrated buses in Montgomery in 1956 after the Supreme Court had had desegregated that bus system there. Very powerful picture, you know, of King right up front, sitting up front, whole busload of white people in the back of the bus, very revolutionary moment in American history. He covered the trial of Emmett Till's killers in 1955 and took a very powerful picture of Emmett Till's great uncle, Moses Wright, on the witness stand pointing an accusing finger at the killers. And this picture is haunting. I mean, the judge had forbid any photography during court session, and Ernest defied that order and from the side of the courtroom took this photo. It's a little bit out of focus, but captures the action, an amazing picture, really. He covered so many of the big pivotal events in the movement. You know, he was there for the integration of Central High and Little Rock. He covered the integration of Ole Miss in 1962, the assassination of Medgar Evers in 1963, of course, the Memphis sanitation strike, the volatile strike here in Memphis of the garbage workers that brought Dr. King here, and where he was shot and killed on April 4th, 1968. So Ernest was a guy who, he was a freelance newsman who ran a photography studio down on Peel Street, who had this incredible access. The movement leaders all trusted him. He knew, you know, everybody, particularly in Memphis, you know, who was who, and just a guy with incredible access and timing, just took some amazing pictures that documented this history.
So here is Ernest Withers, a civil rights insider, well-liked, a good photographer, but then we find out he was leading a double life.
Ernest had this secret life from 1958 to 1976, really covering the whole span of the movement, where he collaborated with the FBI. He was actually a paid informant who was recruited by William H. Lawrence, who was the FBI agent, special agent in Memphis, who ran their domestic intelligence operations here for the better part of a quarter century, from the late 40s all the way until his retirement in 1970. And, you know, Ernest was very valuable to the FBI in that he had the access and he had pictures. So he could deliver pictures and oral intelligence that the FBI wanted, information about who was who were the people who were causing this unrest or potentially causing this unrest. J. Edgar Hoover viewed the movement very suspiciously. They, you know, this was the Cold War. They thought it was communist inspired. When things started getting, you know, the unrest started building through the mid to late 60s, the level of paranoia just ratcheted up. But, you know, Ernest, because of his access, could give them these kind of inside details, help them figure out which one of these activists were associated with who, you know, where they were, who their blood relatives were and their associates, and get inside meetings that he could pass on this information. So he became a very valuable source, and he could do it, you know, like out in the open, because this was his job. I mean, he was a photojournalist and a movement insider. And so really, I mean, he kind of operated out in the open, and no one really knew what he was doing. you know, there are people who I've interviewed who show up in records who, you know, like there's this one lady who was a member of briefly a member of the Communist Party, and the FBI was very focused on her. You know, he came and shot her wedding photos, became very friendly with her, and she had no idea that he was also reporting back to the FBI, passing pictures, identification pictures of her, noting her attendance at different rallies. They always wanted to monitor these people and figure out what they were doing as they built these dossiers and, you know, private meetings that she was doing and her connections to various other individuals they considered subversive. And so, yeah, he operated kind of off the radar, but right in the very center of the radar, and no one really knew he was doing this.
You're listening to What We're Reading on Northern Community Radio, and we're talking with Mark Paraskia about his new book, A Spy in Canaan. It's a look at civil rights insider and photographer Ernest Withers. Mark, we've heard how Ernest was such a revered figure during the civil rights movement. Was there a negative reaction to your discovery and subsequent reporting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people didn't believe it. His family, his circle of friends and associates. I mean, initially, I mean, it was said that I made this up, and that later morphed into different positions, that he basically was just selling photographs to the FBI like he sold to a number of other people. But, I mean, Ernest operated under a code number. He was paid. He was directed. The thing is Ernest is a revered figure, hometown hero, legitimate civil rights figure. I mean, he has a Blues Note on Beale Street, which is kind of the local equivalent of the Hollywood Star. Mm-hmm. He's got a building named after him. He has a museum. He's got a historical marker outside of his house. It's hard, I think, for people to sometimes accept these kind of things about their heroes. Even though I've made this very clear, I'm not trying to erode Ernest's legacy. I think he's, as I said, he's a legitimate civil rights hero, and I don't think the stuff that he was doing for the FBI eclipses the good that he did for the movement. But however, it does rival it. I mean, there's this hidden history, and it really is a very instructive in terms of the need for vigilance. If we're going to have a true democracy, you know, these types of investigations that the FBI was doing were just so corrosive to democracy, where they were building files and trying to contain and neutralize activists who in many instances were doing nothing more than standing up against the war and for civil rights and exercising constitutionally guaranteed rights. But yet the government was treating them as if they were subversive, invading their privacy, collecting all this political data and personal data on them. This whole period back then, I think there's a lot to learn from it still. And so I see that as really the value of the story of Ernest Withers. A hero, yes, a flawed hero.
Mark Paraskia's new book is A Spy in Canaan, How the FBI Used a Famous Photographer to Infiltrate the Civil Rights Movement. Lots of our listener readers have been talking about Kristen Hanna's newest book, The Great Alone. Kate says this is an intense story. It's about an emotionally unstable Vietnam War veteran and his family after they inherit a piece of land in rural Alaska in the mid-1970s. They find themselves at odds with the townspeople, some of whom are very eccentric and increasingly unfriendly. The family starts to suffer as they run low on food and find themselves trapped and isolated by the long, dark winter. They eventually adapt through and become true Alaskans, able to hunt and provide for themselves. The ending was perfect. This is a satisfying story, full of characters that you root for and care about, each one a survivor in their own way. It's the best novel I've read in years. That's a review from Kate, posted on our What We're Reading Facebook page, where you can find reviews and recommendations. And we recently asked, what book are you looking forward to reading? And we heard from many readers on this. Rules of Civility by Amar Tolles. We've been hearing a lot about his recent book, A Gentleman in Moscow. And Rules of Civility is one of his earlier works, taking place in the 1930s New York. Bridge of Clay by Marcus Zusick. Zusick is the writer of the very popular novel, The Book Thief. Bridge of Clay is his most recent work, but you'll have to wait a while. It won't be released until October. Woman Enough by Lissa Carlino, an inspirational story about an exotic dancer who faces down social stigma and struggles with addiction. And that's just a few of the books that people are talking about on our KAXE, KBXE, What We're Reading page. Join us to share your reviews, your recommendations, and learn what others are reading. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Tammy Bobrowski, and this has been What We're Reading on KAXE, KBXE.